Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfoe. Alex Reamer, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rob Bradford on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Let's not get anybody else suspended.
All right.
Now, kids,
they know Chara, as
how many
said.
We're going to show this. How many times have I said, don't stick it? I watch the TV down here. I watch the papers, the whole deal. Not once did they say a stupid play. Here's a guy, 42 years old, wasn't learned when he was a kid. I played 16 years. I never had that happen to him. I saw Al Arbor. I saw him badly cut Larry the Rock Seidel. You never put your stick like that. Here's a guy, 42 years old, never learned when he was young. Young coaches at the side, never out in front. This team is in the hunt at all is because of Billington.
Welcome back. Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfoe, no Bradfoe. WEI Ford Club Asturias at Fenway Park. That was the great Don Cherry. So Don Cherry, earlier in the series, blamed Matt Grizzlick for his concussion. And now it sounds like blaming Zdeno Chara for the apparent broken jaw.
He's right, though. You should never put your stick in front of the shooter when the guy's taking a shot at you like that. It's like,
you agree with Don Cherry?
Yeah, it's like a conveyor belt right up to your mouth. I mean, he's right in the sense where, you know, Chara should know better. You know, you got to keep your stick at the side, because if you do put it out there, there's a chance that we'll see what happened. It'll hit the front of your blade, and like I said, it's a ramp, right?
But how else is he supposed to block it? Just with his face?
No. You take the puck to the body, to the shin pads.
Yeah. You know. Easier said than done.
Well, that's what they do. Have you never watched?
I have. I've seen.
Right.
Seen
so
my
most of the
dad.
Time you try to, and that's what they teach defensemen, is you try to keep the stick out of. Not in front of you when the guy's shooting, because of the fact that if it gets tipped, it can come right up.
Absolutely. I mean, you have a guy battling through like this, through this pain. This
I'm not necessarily
gonna, you know,
going to
say it's his fault, please.
Well,
please.
It's his fault in the sense that he probably realizes, like, in that situation, he's probably thinking to himself, man, I should have my stick on the other side. You know what I mean? Like, players do that, you know. When I played it, there were certain things that you knew, like, oh, okay, you know, I should have my hand on the outside of a guy's jersey because I could potentially get my hand broken because of guys coming in. You know, you try to get it inside. And, you know, if you leave it out there, sometimes that's my fault for leaving it out there and knowing better not to get it inside.
Yeah, but he's trying to stop the puck. He's a hockey player.
I understand that, but that's the way injuries happen. Injuries happen, well, whether or not, you know, whose fault they are. Is it your fault? Could you have done something different to avoid it? You know, if it was like the shot that Jeremy Rona took where it just took a shot to the face, you know, nothing he could do
just,
about that.
Just, I think, a bad look. I mean, Don Cherry knows a million years old and he gets a pass, but I mean, victim-blaming Cherry.
But he's not
victim-blaming
yes, him. He's just saying that he shouldn't have had a stick there. He's saying that because of his stick there, that's a reason why his job probably got broken.
But imagine if NFL analyst, you know, after a player gets concussed like Grizzlick did, says, oh, it was his fault, like Cherry
said.
Well,
that's different.
I mean, just this... Why is that different? I mean, he's saying that Grizzlick, the way that he maneuvered there when Sundquist hit him, is the reason why he was concussed.
Well, here you go, for a perfect example, right? If an NFL player put his head down, right, and then hurt himself, you would say, as an analyst, you would say he put himself in a bad position and he should have never put himself in that position because that led to the injury.
Yeah, no.
Right?
Yes.
So what's wrong with that? Isn't that what
Don
Cherry's doing?
There's nothing wrong with that, but I'd like to hear a little more sympathy from
Don
Cherry.
But the guy's 95 years old.
I know, but so what is that excuse?
So that's the way he's making the thing. If I'm watching a football game and I'm doing the color commentary of it, and like I said, if a guy's running down and comes up to make a tackle and he puts his head down, right, and then he ends up injuring himself, I'm going to say, you know what? The reason why he hurt himself is because he put his head down. He put himself in a bad position, and that's what led to the injury. So am I victim shaming him, or am I just clearly stating the reason why this guy got hurt? So young kids, if you're watching this game at home, you don't want to put your head down. So young kids, if you're watching this game at home, you want to have the stick to the side of you, not right in front of you.
Just in general, though, I mean, see, look at, again, all the missed calls. We've spending so much time on the Bozak trip on Achari, but Barbashev, Johansson, not called. Sanford, elbow to Torrey Krug's head, not called. I mean, that is the NHL setting.
Well, Barbashev ended up getting suspended.
Right, so one game suspension, but he should have been suspended the whole series. I'm sorry. You elbow a guy in the head, blindside hit like he hit Johansson, so you are out for the series.
So do you feel the same way when McAvoy hit? I forget.
Yeah, Josh Anderson, he should have missed more than one game and should have gotten more than a minor penalty on that. Absolutely, yes. And that's the NHL continually showing this postseason that they do not care about player safety. They care even less about player safety than the NFL. If that's possible. I mean, that's the message you're sending with all this. I mean, how can you elbow a guy in the head blindside like Barbashev did on Johansson? Just a one-game suspension? That's it? I mean, the Blues would take that. Like, they won the Sundqvist trade, right? So Sundqvist concusses Grizzlick, puts him in the protocol. Grizzlick still hasn't played. Sundqvist, a fourth-line forward, is back after just one game. So the Blues win that trade. It's sending a message that if you can hurt the other player, do it, because you can keep him out for the duration of the series and you only miss one game. It's wrong. The NHL has to start. They're not taking this stuff seriously.
So you want to see guys get suspended for the rest of the playoff series?
Not the rest of the playoffs, but more than one game. More than one game if you're going to go headhunting like the Blues have gotten and like Barbashev
did. How do you determine whether or not it's headhunting or whether or not it's just the guy, like in the Grizzly case, right?
A little different, because that was right, against the ice. Right, but McAvoy, that was a clear, cheap shot on Josh Anderson, to go back to that. And this elbow, again, Johansson wasn't even looking. It was a total cheap shot, total headhunt move by Barbashev.
But the one Barbashev, he was clearly...
He should be out for more than one game. Should be out the entirety of the series. Well, miss both games.
Well, you should write a very heartfelt column about how you want that. Did you write that?
I did, yes. I mean, because Wiggy, you're an NFL guy. I mean, the NFL continually gets beaten up, and rightfully so, with their negligence with these concussions and head injuries, but the NHL is far worse. Gary Bettman won't even publicly acknowledge that there is a link between playing hockey and head trauma. I mean, come on. The NHL's in the Stone Ages with this stuff.
Well, they have to, maybe they need a class action lawsuit to wake them up like they did in the NFL.
They have had them. They just don't. It's just, and the hockey media, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem to really care. Like, how is this not one of the biggest storylines of the entire series? Not just the missed calls. We understand they missed the calls, but just the lack of seriousness that the NHL takes this stuff is pretty gross to me.
Well, if you know there's only going to be a game suspension, you know,
right,
as a coach, you
do it.
You say, yeah, why not? Why not? Why not, like you said, why not lose a guy for one game who's a fourth-line centerman, right, or third-pairing defenseman?
Right.
And you're able to take out one of their top six forwards or,
right,
you know, top-pairing defensemen.
Right, absolutely right. And that seems to be the message from Berube. He was totally worked over the officials. And I said last time, I'm not going to spend all day and the rest of the time complaining about the missed calls. But clearly Berube's lobbying affected the officials, which is also disgraceful if you're the NHL. So that's what it is now. If you're a head coach, you complain, the officials, it sways the series?
See, I don't want him suspended multiple games, because then what ends up happening is if your guy gets put in that situation, now you might lose, like Charlie McAvoy.
Right.
If that's the way the rule is, you get suspended for the remainder of a series or something like that. Now Charlie McAvoy might have been in a position where they would have been saying, you know what, he's done for the series. I think it's, you look at it, and if it's so egregious, then you have to figure out, do we suspend this person multiple games?
But what's wrong with that? Right. I mean, so if a Bruins player does it, so what? The rule should still apply. I think McAvoy should have been suspended longer than just one game.
I don't think in multiple games. See, the problem is it's so hard to really determine if a guy's headhunting or if a guy's just trying to make a big hit and then the guy changes his level. That's the difference, that especially when you think about hockey, right? Because hockey is about, it's different than football, right? And football is blocks and things of that nature. But hockey, when you're checking a guy, your guys are changing their level constantly, right? Because their heads are down anyways looking at the puck or in that area. So the levels change. And when a guy wants to avoid a hit, what does a guy generally do when he wants to avoid a hit? He gets even lower.
Right.
So that's where sometimes you end up hitting a guy in the head. So I think it has to be like the Barbashaw hit on Johansson. That was clear because Johansson was shooting the puck,
right,
and he was coming straight on and then decided to elevate.
Right. And it's missed during the game. It's not called it on. It's just a one-game suspension, which shows that it's okay. Headhunting is all right
and
in
then
the
it
NHL.
Also, and the other thing not too, cool. Reema, the other thing you have to also understand, a lot of it, and they do it in football as well, it's whether the guy, because Johansson got right up on that play. I mean, like, he didn't get hurt.
Sure.
So when a guy gets hurt, then they tend to go, oh, you know what? We got to look at this a little bit deeper versus if a guy bounces up or maybe, you know, ends up finishing the game. And I think that's a big part of it, too.
George in Rhode Island is on the officiating. What's up, George?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey. Ream team in the house. What's
My
up,
man? What's up?
Wiggy, I got one for you. I didn't even realize that you were on that Carolina Panthers team, but Sean Casey kicks the ball out of bounds. What the hell is that?
Right.
I couldn't believe it either. And speaking of officiating, how events can change things, never mind the Tuck rule. The biggest one ever was Dave Roberts stealing second base. If you could challenge back then, Joe Torre definitely would have challenged that, and he's out because I was at that game. You could hear a pin drop until the umpire went safe. And let me tell you, Cheetah slapped that tag down so fast, there's no way Roberts was safe. There is no way.
Oh, come on, George.
That,
you slid under the tag. Come on. You're going to really desecrate
no
our most beloved memory for the Red Sox.
There was nothing to slide under.
I'm going to go back to it.
We have to go back and do it. George, that is a bold proclamation. So the play that turned it all around and broke the curse.
Wait,
you're saying
that was the play.
Should have been nullified.
There was nothing to slide under. He just slapped it down and touched his hand. And they said, oh, he touched dirt. He touched his hand.
Boy,
and Dave Roberts is out.
I have the play right here. Let's actually see if... Oh.
But you know what, though?
How do we mute this thing?
It's not coming through over the air. That's all right. A nice iPad you got, too. Very
fancy.
Well,
this is the one that...
Do you have is that the iPad that they have here, or did you bring your own?
No, this is their iPad.
Oh, you can go on the line. I just have the call screener on mine. I don't even understand. Oh, you can go on the internet. There you go. I keep my calls. I like the call screener there.
You got games on mine.
Did Doug leave?
Doug left, yes.
Damn.
Doug Lane, our previous engineer.
I shut it off and
no longer here.
I got out of it, and I can't remember what the code was.
The black screen. Well, it's a good thing I'm handling the call. So you want the Wiggy show? That's why it can't be the Wiggy show.
Well, I
you
forgot
would X
what
out
the,
of the call screener.
The code was.
And we would have no calls. Like, George Rhode Island's great call. But see, the Yankees aren't complaining, but they didn't complain about the Roberts deal after, because winning teams don't do that. And, you know, all this talk, worst call in Boston sports history. No, there was still hockey to be played after that call. There's still a game to be played tonight. Enough. I am putting a moratorium on Achari tripping talk. That's it, Wiggy. We got to turn the page.
No,
that's what winners
it's still part
do.
Of it.
It's so still, winners do.
Still part of the, it's still part of the discussion. Until the Bruins win the Stanley Cup. If they lose it, it'll always be part of the discussion.
Sure, part of the discussion, but not the discussion, which is what it has largely been. And to get back to the Blues, too, about just how detestable and hateable they've become. I mean, this is their GM, Doug Armstrong. He says the Barbashev suspension was excessive. He said that was excessive. So really? So he doesn't think his guys should be suspended at all for headhunting? And I know a GM is not going to come out and publicly condemn his player, but really? That's the quote that one of your general managers saying? Headhunting, elbowing a guy in the blind side, and one-game suspension is excessive? Really? That's so hateable. That's so detestable. And I want to see the Bruins come back now and punch back in Game 6.
Well,
let's
why
do
not
it.
Go, why
Those
not,
are the
why,
rules.
Why
let's
not take your own headshots, right?
Well,
why not go after Tarasenko? Why not go after O'Reilly? That's the way it is. You want to fight dirty? You want to get in the mud?
And that's another story of this series. The big bad Bruins have been beaten
but that's
up
not
by
who
the
they
St.
are,
Louis
though.
Blues.
See, that's not who they are. They're not the big bad Bruins no more. They haven't been that team for a long time.
Right.
It's not the identity of who they are. Now they're more of a skilled hockey team. It's not what they do.
Yeah, and a skilled hockey team, they've been beaten up by a heavier St. Louis Blues team. And Pastrnak has been totally bullied in this series. He has been.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're definitely running guys like they're running pasta. They're making it difficult out there for him. That's what the Blues do. If you're the Bruins, you have to do what it is you do, and that's play with skill, and that's play with speed. And then when you get your opportunities, you got to put the puck in the net. One too many passes for the Bruins too much throughout this series.
Yeah, we said earlier, Krejci, too many passes, Marchand, too many. And that's a guy, too, who the focus really needs to be on, Brad Marchand. I mean, you're talking about, you're right, the Bruins are not the big, bad, heavy Bruins of old, but Marchand is an agitator. He's a guy who gets in opponents' faces.
Right.
Where's he been? Not just from an offensive perspective, he's been a total, you know, ghost, but even from an agitation standpoint, where's Marchand?
Well, the problem with Marchand and being an agitator, this has become, it's so difficult for him to get in that role because he has this giant bullseye on his back. You know what I mean? His track record isn't good for him to be an agitator because now anything he does, he's going to the penalty box, and now he's going to put his team in a bad situation.
So, the officials who are not calling blatant headshots, not calling a blatant trip, are going to send Marchand.
But you don't agree with that based on his reputation, that if he really becomes the agitator out there and he starts doing a bunch of crazy stuff, you don't think because of his of who he is and his reputation that that potentially would put him in the box and now would put your team...
Yeah, there's more focus on him, sure, but I mean, clearly they're letting stuff go in this series.
Right, well, that's...
Unless you're Marchand, of course, which actually brings up your point, because if you're trying to just pry a puck loose in a scrum, you get called for a penalty.
Right.
Which was... I mean, want to talk about bad calls. I mean, that is something that... Talk about just uneven, ridiculous officiating, and that's, I think, the most egregious and embarrassing part for the NHL. Not just they missed these calls, but that it was so lopsided as well, because Marchand, how is that a penalty? So the Blues can just throw elbows at guys' heads, and Marchand can't try
well,
to
they,
puck
how many times have we seen the Blues run Tuukka Rask in this series and not get called for penalties, and then Marchand just pokes at Binnington and ends up going to the box for a 2-minute slash.
But you still got to try. You're the Bruins. Still got to try. You still got to do it. You still got to do
it. It's not what they do, though.
You can't play to the officials.
But if it's not what you do, it's hard to change your game. I think it's just play your game, do what you do, and just put the puck in the damn net.
What the Bruins do is what Marchand does is he agitates. He annoys guys. And outside of poking Binnington a few games ago, and then one of the biggest flops of the century, he doesn't do
but
that.
But I don't think there's any guy out there. Like, usually when you see Marchand do that, we saw it in the, what was it, the Carolina series when he was doing it against, who was the captain of Carolina? What was it, Williams?
Justin Williams. Yes. He totally gotten Williams'
right, but
head.
He
made him into a crazy person.
He had a specific guy that he was targeting.
You gotta eat a poop sandwich. It doesn't taste good.
I mean, the guy's talking about poop sandwiches.
So Marchand, I think Marchand at this point in time, it's too late, because he didn't, if he would have targeted, say, Tarasenko early in the series, and maybe try to get under his skin, or O'Reilly, great. But now he hasn't done that, so now you're going to wait till game six to try to find that. I don't think those guys, by this time, they're probably like, you know what, we're not going to let that affect us.
The Blues have been able to set the tone, and the Bruins have just been beaten up again on the ice, and the officials, it seems like Cassidy, again, Achari, I feel so bad for him. Enough with this. And it's just beaten up, and I don't like the Bruins' chances tonight. I don't. I don't like their chances, Wig. On the road, game six. I think it ends this evening.
Oh, do you?
It does, yep.
I think it comes back home for game seven.
Why?
Well, because I think the Bruins, they're resilient, and you look at, they've kind of been resilient all year long.
They're
one of those teams that, you know, and give credit to Chara. He's a big part of that, and I think they realize as a team, they're the better team. Obviously, they know that this is the game of their life, right? They know that they're going to be playing in a hostile environment, a hostile situation. I think they're just resiliency, their leadership, the guys that they have in that dressing room, in that locker room, are going to say, hey, we're not going to allow our season to end here tonight. And that's why I think that you'll probably see those top line or those top six forwards, those guys have big games.
They have to. They've been totally outplayed all series long. Ken in New Hampshire on the series. What's up, Ken?
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
All right, so before you guys tear me apart, listen to this first. You have what we call the Boston derangement syndrome right out in the open in this series. Okay, you've got the constant headshots, the holdings that's not being called.
Right.
And then you have a first-time almost Stanley Cup winner in St. Louis, which has been talked about through this whole series. I think they're just sick of us winning, plain and simple.
So the NHL, so you agree with the Ken Laird theory that there is an edict from the league offices
Ken Laird with that one. I believe
no
that
way.
As well. I believe
Come
that
on.
As well.
I yeah. am too. Ken hit it right on the head when he said that the other day. I mean, this is a clear cut. I mean, look at the headshots, look at the holds, look at everything that's not being called. And then
yeah,
how
but
many
Ken,
times
but
they brought
McAvoy
up
was,
the NHL
But McAvoy
has,
was only given a minor for his blatant headshot a couple rounds ago. I think that's a league issue.
No, I think,
not an anti-Bruins
I think Ken's
thing.
Right, and I think Ken's right, and I jumped on that bandwagon. I think that people nationally, not just the NHL, but the fans, the media, they're sick of the New England-Boston dominance.
You guys are looking at three possible championships in what, less than 200 days or a little over 200 days?
Right. It's an embarrassment of riches.
And I think Ken's right. They're tired of that. And what better way to make the NHL look good in the sense of saying, hey, listen, you're the St. Louis Blues. You're in last place at the end of the year. You weren't the best team, and you were able to play a certain style of hockey that nobody thought could be played no more and win a Stanley Cup Finals.
No, but I understand the media is sick of the Bruins winning and sick of Boston teams winning, but the league, there's no edict from the league office that let's tilt this series in favor of
St. Louis.
Well,
I just told you why.
Which is what you're saying.
I just told you what it does for the league. Now the rest of the teams, because they already know Boston is a hockey market, and the fans are going to love it. So now if you're a St. Louis market or maybe a smaller market and your team's able to win a Stanley Cup, doesn't that do isn't that better for the league, NHL overall, than the Bruins winning again, another huge market team?
No. The Bruins winning is good for the NHL.
But I think that the smaller market winning shows that, hey, your team is never out. And when you look at it as a fan nationally, you look at it and go, hey, we don't have to be a major market or have big name players to win a Stanley Cup Finals. And that's a better
Tarasenko
thing.
Tarasenko is third in the league in goals since 2014.
But when you think of the superstars.
That's a superstar. No, Tarasenko is a legit superstar.
When you think of superstars nationally.
Petrangelo is a superstar.
No, I'm talking about you see these people out here that have no clue. They're on their cell phones. For when you ask them, do you know who damn Tarasenko is? They're going to go, who? But if you said, do you know who Brad Marchand is?
Because we're in Boston.
No, I'm talking about this guy's got an Expo jersey on.
What should we ask him? Did you know Vladimir Tarasenko?
Yeah, he's probably going to be like,
no.
He's going to be like, what is he, some political Russian? Did he have something to do
with it? He's a Russian oligarch. Now you're talking
right.
Nice.
Exactly. Was he involved in the Trump wiretapping or whatever it is?
You're talking to Jerry too much. There was no illegal wiretapping
in
the Trump
campaign.
That? I'll educate you that during the break. So I can't believe this. So you were on the record, Jermaine Wiggins, that there is an anti-Bruins edict in the league office. That is so ridiculous.
I think that's in all
sports. No way. All sports.
I think that's in all sports with all the... With all the local teams around here. Anti-Celtics, anti-Bruins, anti-Red Sox,
from the leagues.
Anti-Patriots.
It
yes.
helps the leagues when Boston teams are good, though. It's
no,
a big market.
No.
Energized fan base. People like the Boston teams to do well.
It doesn't help the league.
Yes, it does.
No, it does. What it does is it makes the rest of fans and it makes national media, it makes them more annoyed. And they don't. It's like people, they don't want to hear from you. Because you get under their skin and you annoy them. So what do they do?
No, they want to hear from me.
They change the channel.
No, they don't.
That's what they want. That's what they do.
They do not change the channel.
It's not a good thing for the league.
It's like the Howard Stern thing. You know, the people who hate Howard listen twice as much to people who like him. Wigan,
no,
I've heard
Howard, that's old Howard Stern, not no more.
I am comparing myself to Howard Stern, yes. And actually, the consultant said the same thing to me in my meeting on Friday. He said, Alex, we have the numbers. It's unbelievable.
You're Howard Stern?
Here. Yes.
Yeah, you're the new Howard Stern, which he sucks.
Not a bad life.
No, he stinks now.
Not a bad life. I feel a kinship with Howard. Hey, when you're early on in your career, you do some things you regret to create a buzz, and then you have more perspective. And that's what I'm trying to do. And the perspective I'm bringing is that it is absolutely asinine to say there's an anti-Bruins, anti-Boston edict.
It is.
It's so crazy, but I would expect nothing less from you, Jermaine Wiggins, President Fanboy,
no,
617-779.
If you don't see it, A, you're just stupid. Right? And I think you're a pretty smart kid.
Thank you, Wiggy.
Or B, you don't see it is because you know it's true and you don't want
to
see it.
It's just incompetent officiating. You know, the Occam's razor theory, the most obvious answer is often the correct one.
They jello for
yes,
self.
That applies here. The obvious answer is the officials are incompetent, they're terrible, and they're worked over by Berube. You want to say that Berube worked them over and that's having an impact? Sure, but there's no edict.
There
from
is
the league
an
office.
Edict. It's in all the sports. It is in all the sports. All the sports with the Boston teams because people are fatigued on Boston, New England sports teams winning championships and being in championships. They're fatigued. They don't want to see it no more.
It's amazing they've been able to overcome all this winning. How about in the Super Bowl, though? The NFL even saying that they should have called a pass interference penalty in the Super Bowl against the Patriots for Cook's deep pass.
Right. They don't want to see the Patriots win again.
But they missed that pass interference call on Goff's deep pass to Cook in the third quarter of the Super Bowl. Remember,
right.
They've come out after and say, but they didn't call the pass interference. So if there was a league, if there was an anti-Boston edict
in
the NFL.
Well, by that time, it was when they realized that they generally missed it. You can't go back and rewrite history. It's already happened. So, but in that moment, if they would have been, sorry, they would have probably called it.
Do you guys think that Wiggy's as insane as I do? I want to hear from you at 617-779-7937. We'll do that next. Also, Wiggy, we have a big question brewing for the Celtics. If Kyrie Irving is leaving, which Stephen A. Smith says, and Stephen A. Smith, whatever he preaches is the gospel, Do you still make a run at Anthony Davis? That is the question that we'll face the Celtics this offseason. We'll do that next with your calls, the Wiggy with this crazy anti-Boston edict. But first, let's grab a trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now more of Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Before we get to Maria and some of the other calls and the officiating, now you threw this, nowhere. Pete Blackburn gives me a, here's what I've heard.
I heard Marchand has a broken hand. That's what I've heard. Haven't been able to confirm it, but that's what I've heard.
So Pete Blackburn has heard but can't confirm it. So now this gets into the, now you haven't tweeted it, you haven't written it at CBS
Sports. I don't want to own it, but that's what I've heard.
Well, sorry, Pete Blackburn. You did say it on these airwaves. We are newsbreakers, NHL newsbreakers, WEI Fourier with Chara. Now, Pete Blackburn, I am attributing it to him because he said it. Yeah, Brad Marchand, broken hand. Should have mentioned that earlier, and if that's the case, then all right, I'm cutting Marshy a little slack, but still, it's not public, so... Still saying he's got to step up his play. Though that would explain certainly some of his offensive ineptitude and maybe lack of agitation.
Well, I've seen him shoot some pucks and he's looked pretty good taking some shots.
Yeah. I mean, he's out there playing, right? So you can only comment on what you know for sure. And we know that he's out there playing and he's been a total ghost. Just as most of the Bruins top six forwards have been.
I don't really put much into it because I've seen him rip off some good shots. And if it was an issue, wouldn't that affect him? Right.
Yeah. No. But he hasn't played well at all. So that would
right,
be an explanation.
Right. But wouldn't that? But so what about when he does rip off good shots? Is it not affecting him?
Well, you can still rip off a good shot if you have a hand issue, right? I mean, if you're hurt, you can still have a few good plays.
Well, but we've seen Brad Marchand.
He's got great hands.
He does.
He just looks like he's not able. There's been opportunities where he's passing up shots. He's just not playing good. I don't know if it's necessarily because of a hand. I haven't seen that in any way. Like, you know, like he's not favoring it or he's doing anything.
Yeah,
that.
There's nothing obvious.
Right. So if it is, we'll find out afterwards. But he still looks fine to me out there.
Wayne in Connecticut has some thoughts on the missed calls and Wiggy's theory that there's an anti-Boston edict, not just in the NHL, but across all sports,
I believe,
correct?
Yes, in all sports.
All sports. Wayne, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
Well, I think you guys are missing something here. You're forgetting about the money. Here's the factor of the money. Just like when the Saints were knocked out of the Super Bowl, why? L.A. a bigger market than New Orleans. And now they're pumping up the Blues every time you hear the national announcers. How the Blues are so good. How the Blues are good. They're trying to make this series go as long as they possibly can. They're making it as brutal as they possibly can because they think that's what fans want.
However, I agree with that.
Well, Wayne, I will buy that point. But, I mean, to get back to your argument, the Saints-Rams, the Super Bowl ratings have no impact on the Super Bowl ratings, who the Patriots played in that one. And I think Breeze-Brady actually would have been a better matchup than Goff Brady.
But they don't want to see.
My point is, this isn't. You say it's not being done. I'm saying it's being done.
It's
you don't miss three penalties like they did in the last game. The guy who tripped Akari put his hands up there like, I didn't do anything. If he didn't think he didn't do anything, why did he put his hands up?
Right, he knew he was guilty. Bolzak knew he was guilty.
Everyone knew that was a penalty.
He was ready to skate to the box.
Goal. Right, right. Bolzak knew as soon as he did, he's like, ah, damn, I'm about to go to penalty box.
Yeah,
but I believe it's a real thing. And for you to not realize and
not
see that, championship fatigue is not good for a league because people then are turned off by that.
The Stanley Cup ratings, these are the best Stanley Cup final ratings since 2013. Bruins Blackhawks.
No, the actual ratings are down. in this since the yeah they are. I just saw something where the ratings for the Stanley Cup Finals locally.
But that's Boston. I'm talking about nationally. Nationally, these are the best ratings the NHL has had for the Stanley Cup Finals since 2013. So it's good for the league, for the Bruins to be in it.
No. So it's the reason why it's probably a better ratings, right? It's people are, and they're not there to see the Bruins, right? They want to see somebody beat the Bruins. They want to see a Boston team lose. They want this championship
I'm not disagreeing with that. Of course, sports fans.
So the NHL wants that to happen. They want to make sure, hey, we need to do everything in our power without it being so noticeable that the Blues win the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, it is noticeable, number one. And number two, it's clear. Blues called for 16 penalties through the first three games. Berube complains after game three. And now the referees have swallowed their whistles since for St. Louis. That is my line of demarcation. That's what I think the explanation is. Terry and Haverhill on this. What's up, Terry? Oh, one sec. Terry, what's going on?
Hello?
How are you? You're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you.
Sure.
On my way to my daughter's dance recital. Sorry.
Oh, excellent. No problem. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say I 150% agree with Jermaine Wiggins. I ranted Thursday night on Facebook. Just present the trophy to the Blues. Present them with the cup and be done with this. I'm so frustrated. I'm frustrated watching it. I'm frustrated on all the non-calls. It's frustrating. And I think that the NHL does want to expand their fan base. They have to.
But why would the Blues winning expand the NHL's fan base?
You just said it because if the everybody knows in Boston, right? Boston is a hockey city, right? They don't need to expand their fan base in Boston. They don't need more people in Boston watching hockey because they know they get ratings from Boston sports fans and Bruins fans. What they need to do is have teams like the Blues who haven't won a Stanley Cup Finals, and I don't think they've ever won it, right?
Never
won a Stanley Cup Finals. It's been
been back since the famous Bobby Orr series.
Right. So what they want is they want now these other franchises because they want to create more excitement for other organizations and other franchises that are not big market franchises that they know. They don't need that team to be in the postseason for the fan
base. But the Bruins also don't win every year. I mean, they haven't been back to the Cup since 2013, haven't won since 2011. It's not the Patriots.
They've been there.
Three times over the last decade, right?
They've been there three times over the last decade. So if you're a Bruins fan, you're looking at that like, wow, we know we're going to be there. If you're a St. Louis fan or you're a Carolina fan or you're a Columbus fan or you're one of these fans that maybe they haven't been there in a while – you, as the NHL, you want to make sure that those teams are winning because now it creates a bigger fan base for you.
But those teams already went. Carolina made it to the conference finals. The Blues are in the Stanley Cup finals. I mean, they are winning already.
No, but they haven't won a Stanley Cup. They want them to win the whole thing. So now these other franchises, like Vegas, right? Vegas wins a Stanley Cup Finals their first year in the league as an expansion team. Now, this you have a new expansion team coming in Portland, I believe it is. It's Portland, Oregon, right?
Sure.
Seattle. So you have a new NHL franchise coming in Seattle. You don't think that those fans in Seattle look and go, hey, if the Vegas Knights can win a Stanley Cup,
so can we. But here's
that's what you're doing. You're getting the smaller markets to be excited about it, and now that just brings the level
up nationally. Here's a question, though, Wiggy. So where was this anti-Boston edict in games 1 through 3 when the Blues were in the penalty box all
because
night
long? It wasn't as blatant.
Oh.
And it was games.
What do you mean it wasn't as blatant?
1 through 3, what was the series? It was going in the perfect direction. 1 through 3, it was the series 2-1. Still a good series.
It was 2-2 entering Thursday night. I mean, that's
right.
When you
are the NHL, you only have to tip the scales once you start to see it gets close to the outcome.
Nah, it's just incompetent officiating. The excuse making, unbelievable.
It's championship fatigue.
I'm the only tough guy around here. Jason in New Hampshire, what's up, Jason?
Boys, how we doing?
What's going on?
Not too much. Just a couple things with the. How do you feel about how the series is going to go tonight? What do you think is going to happen?
I'm on the
Bruins
record.
Win.
Wiggy says the Bruins win. I say the Blues win. I say it's over
Rima
tonight.
Rima says this is it.
That's it.
Just like Rima's... Rima's saying, just like Rima's Reamer saying that this is it for the Bruins. You won't see hockey for a while, and we won't see Reamer.
Right.
He's leaving the market.
I kind of agree with him. I got to bring up a couple quick points, and I'll let you guys run with this. Games, let's go back. Was it game two when Braden Schenn tried to take the head off of, was it Pastrnak, right? Is that correct?
Yes.
Right. Okay. I know fighting's out of the game, and it's here we go again, but there had to be a statement made in that. Something had to have been done with that to let the Blues know that you cannot keep playing like this. We're going to answer back at you.
Yeah, I mean, the Bruins have been beaten up and bullied, no doubt about it.
I think the only one who's made a statement has been Torrey Krug with some of the hits.
Yeah, well, Robert Thomas, for helmetless Torrey Krug, the flying hit on Robert Thomas.
But where's your big guy, Chara? Where's Chara's
broken jaw right now?
No, prior to the broken jaw. Where is he of setting the tone, like the caller's saying? Yeah.
Wiggy, I love you. Here we go. Now, I was going to go to game three now. It's 5-1. If there's ever a goddamn time for something, it's now.
Right.
Right now. You run the goalie, you piece of garbage.
Right.
Schenn again, right? Was it Schenn?
It was...
him or Perrin, one of the two.
He did run the goalie once. Yes. And Shen's been very active. He's been very physical.
Number 52 or 54, whoever that...
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Where's that number?
He's been very physical. Right, the Bruins have been beaten up. There's no doubt about
it. But he's making the point. Why wouldn't you now say, you know what, the hell with it? And that was the game that they were in St. Louis and they were getting their doors blown out. And you would think that would be the perfect opportunity for Chara to say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm going to knock somebody's head off.
Yesterday?
No. This
or
was
game five, rather?
No, this was game... This was the 7-2 game.
Okay, so game three.
Game three. Whatever it was. Game three. Yeah. The 7-2 game when they were running and they were really, you know, they were running rasp. That's the perfect time. And I think
you were winning 7-2.
But I think that's what the caller says. Then? Because it's about, listen, you're not going to get away with this cheap crap. Somebody's going to get their ass whooped. And I'm drop the gloves. I'll take the 5-minute penalty, but somebody's going to eat some of these big Slovakian hands.
The way this series is going, you just have headshots and have it not be called. 617-779-7937. More of this reaction coming up next, and we will get to the Stephen A. bombshell.
Oh, we going to get to that.
We going to get to Kyrie. We'll do that next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Becca Reamer, Wiggy, and Bradfo on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I have learned that Kyrie Irving has given every indication to the Brooklyn Nets that is where he wants to go, not the New York Knicks.
A Stephen A. bomb said it late this past week. Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfo, no Bradfo from our WEI Ford Clubhouse studios at Fenway Park. So here you go, Jermaine. You bind Stephen A., Kyrie Irving to the Brooklyn Nets. That's what he's saying.
Is KD going with him?
What the word is? It's the word on the street.
Listen, I don't know. I don't doubt it. I still think there's a chance he could come back to Boston. Maybe Stephen A. Smith is plugged in a little bit, but I know KD and him don't get along. So where's he getting his information from?
Right.
But
weak sources.
Yeah. So I don't know. With Kyrie Irving, it's so hard to tell. when you think about it. Why would you want to go to Brooklyn? But, you know, if him and
Why wouldn't you? I mean, the Nets had a good year. They were, what, the sixth seed this
year?
Right,
but you're
going
to have to get rid of everybody. You're not going to have that same team.
Well, they traded Alan Crabb, and they shed his salary to make space for Irving. So,
yeah, you're going to have to get rid of D'Angelo Russell.
Well, if you're going to have multiple
That's what
guys,
you're
going to
do. You think Kyrie and D'Angelo Russell are a good team?
No. They're going to. But I mean, Irving and Durant, that's a.
Well,
that's right
my.
There.
That's the point. He's, yeah. Unless you're plugged in with Kevin Durant, because where Kevin Durant goes, right. Kyrie Irving, I think, follows suit. Kevin Durant stays in Golden State. Now Kyrie Irving has to reevaluate. Do I really want to go to Brooklyn?
Seems like Irving's going to play with either Durant or Anthony Davis
Bingo.
Next year. One of the two. Maybe both. A crazy scenario is that the Nets could somehow get all three of Irving, Durant, and Davis. I'm not quite sure I'm buying that. Lots of moving parts there. But this has a chance to be, though, Wiggy, absolutely catastrophic
yes.
for the Boston Celtics. You have a situation where you have Irving and Durant pairing up in either New York or Brooklyn. And let's say the
you
Raptors...
You don't know that yet, but that potentially could happen,
potentially
right?
could happen. And let's say the Raptors take care of business. They beat Golden State and finish this thing out. And let's say Kawhi Leonard re-signs in Toronto.
Kawhi's not re-signing
Why?
In Toronto.
Why?
He's
he can
not.
For free.
He's going, huh? He can eat for
anywhere.
And he can live for free,
and
too,
live
right?
For all of it.
Somebody's
yeah.
supposed
he,
to give him
he deserves it.
He's going back to L.A. He's not going to stay out there. He's one and done. He's going to L.A. That's been the big rumors. I would be shocked if Kawhi Leonard re-signs with the Toronto Raptors.
But at this stage, though, and again, I've done a total 180 on this because when the series immediately ended, the Celtics-Bucks, and afterwards, I was anti-Kyrie. We don't want to bring this guy back. He was terrible to watch. I didn't like the one-dimensional play, hero ball. But then I said, well, you have no cap space with or without Irving, so you got to bring him back. But now I'm back to the point where if Kyrie Irving is wavering this much, you can make the most money here by $80 million. Mm-hmm. You still have the best package to land Anthony Davis.
Right.
No better sports center boss. If you want to go play for, again, James Dolan or go to Brooklyn with the Brooklyn Nets, good luck. I mean, that's
my
attitude.
But it has nothing to do
with
I don't think it really matters in Kyrie's mind or those players' mind. I think it's about where they have the best opportunity to win and put their teams together the way they want to put
Wouldn't
them together.
Wouldn't it be here in Boston with Anthony
Davis? I would think
Davis?
So if you got to get Anthony Davis. So, hopefully Danny's in his ear and saying, hey, listen, you know, I know there's rumors out there you and Kevin Durant landing somewhere, but listen, who knows what's going on with Kevin's leg? Does he re-sign with Golden State? You know, does he want to now go to Brooklyn and restart for, and, you know, kind of build that franchise from the ground up? Yeah. Hey, you could stay here, you can make more money, and I'll get you Anthony Davis, and then all we got to do is convince Anthony Davis to stay here long term.
Yeah, but this is and it must hurt Danny Ainge so much, though, that this groveling that you have to do to lure Kyrie Irving
well,
to come here
have to do
and
that.
Take your $180 million.
But everybody does that in the workforce, right? When you want somebody who's talented as a manager or somebody who's in a position of some type of power, you have to grovel to get that good person to come to your company or stay for your play for your organization. That's how it works.
Here's my question, though. If Irving does leave, as reports are indicating, is it the most disappointing superstar stint in Boston sports history, recent Boston sports history? Because Irving comes in, you still do the trade 10 times out of 10. I'm not
right.
bemoaning the trade, but he gets hurt in his first year. And then last year, total disaster. I mean, how disappointing?
Oh, it's huge. It's hugely disappointing because I think everybody thought at the beginning of the year they would say that the Celtics were, you know, one of the two best teams in the Eastern Conference, and it didn't go according to plan. If you're the Celtics, you got to look at it like this. If Kyrie doesn't stay, you basically, where are you going? You're going to be living in mediocrity for 5, 6, 8 years.
You don't want to live there.
Nobody.
Live.
Yeah, you
mediocrity.
Don't. Right. You don't
okay.
want to live there. You don't want to
no.
be. You don't want to be.
Rent's
a
little too high.
You don't want to be a Saturday afternoon.
You do not.
You
want to be Sunday mornings. That's the way you want to be.
Even
Wiggy.
Sunday mornings, you don't want to no. live there. You want to no. be living Monday, 6 to 10 a.m.
Yeah, that's where I used to live. I don't live there anymore, I guess.
Well, no, you never really lived there. You
oh,
just
I did. I've
you
been were, for like 2 years
you were
when I wasn't banned.
You were invited suspended. There, but you want to live there daily is the point.
I do.
And so if you're the Celtics, you don't want to live in the 6-7 seed for the next 5-6 years.
Well, but you could still acquire Anthony Davis even without Kyrie.
You have. That's your only choice.
It's your only choice, right. So this New Orleans anchor floated this the other day. Fletcher Mackel, I don't know his sources, but he says that here's the trade. Boston receives Anthony Davis,
mm-hmm.
Pelicans, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, at least the one of the Celtics picks this year, the number
right.
14 pick in this year's draft, and then one of Robert Williams, Yabusele, or Semi Ojeleye.
I'm all for it.
I'm for it as well, because you have no choice if you're Danny Ainge. You have no choice. The opportunity to acquire a top five player like Davis does not come around often. And as Kawhi Leonard has showed us, I still think there's a chance he resigns in Toronto. You still got to take your chance.
Right. And
still got to take
and
your
there
shot.
Are a lot of people out there that would agree with you that there's a chance that he does resign in Toronto, Kawhi Leonard. So you do the same thing with it, but you got to put enough good pieces around them that you're a championship contender. That's why you potentially could get Kawhi to resign, is because they could win the title this year, and he knows he could play with Kyle Lowry, he could play with Pascal Siakam and some of those guys and still be right where they need to be next year.
Right, exactly. So what say you? It's 617-779-7937. If Kyrie Irving does leave, and it looks like, according to Stephen A, and Stephen A's never wrong, as we know, signing with the Brooklyn Nets, would you still go after and make the push for Anthony Davis? Me and Wiggy both say yes, but it's very risky because you trade Tatum, and if Davis walks for a year, then where are you? You are below mediocrity, and that is that you are in the graveyard shift territory,
right,
which is where you don't want to be. Also, Wiggy, next hour, we're going to get back into the Bruins, of course, big game six. Getting a little nervous about the Tom Brady contract situation. Adam Schefter was on OMF Friday, and in between giving Fourier tips on being an insider, so there has not been a lot of conversation from what he's heard. But Brady and the Patriots, that contract extension, getting a little nervous about that. We'll do that next with your calls. Reamer, Wiggy, Bradfo, no Rob on Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.